Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we're live on the air right now to talk about how the basic gospel intersects with your daily life and how the Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Jesus Christ. The number to call, 1-800-677-9377. If you have a question or something you'd like to discuss, don't wait. Call now. 1-800-677-9377. It's basic gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We, as believers, all sin. We have moments where we give in to the desires of the flesh, the temptations of this world. We commit acts of sin. And we always are interested in knowing what are we supposed to do once we've sinned. Is there a formula? Is there something that we need to say to God? Is there something that we need to pray? Is there something that we need to do? I think a better question is this: what does God do when we sin? And that's a question we want to talk about on today's broadcast. What do you think God does when you sin? 1-800-677-9377 is the number, 1-800-677-9377. Go ahead and call right now. We would love to hear from you and talk about that. Talk about what God does when you sin. As you know, you sin. I know I sin. And we have that issue in common. But what does God do when those sins occur? Does he turn around on a swivel chair and face in the opposite direction? Does he get sick at his stomach over us? Those are some of the things that we might say that he does, but what does he really do? I think it's an interesting question, an interesting topic. Would love to hear your take on it on today's program, 1-800-677-9377. By the way, it will be tomorrow's blog post available at our website, basicgospel.net. What does God do when we sin?
Mm-hmm. Good question.
Yes, indeed.
All right. We'll look forward to the answer. And in the meantime, Ken is looking for an answer from San Francisco. Says, regarding salvation, I've heard you say that a person needs to pray to Jesus and ask him to come into one's life and forgive him or her of their sins based on that person's desire to turn his life over to Christ. My impression is that the prayer is what puts that penitent person into a right relationship with the Lord. Is that correct? Could you please explain what scripture you use as a basis for that belief? I don't think that's what we have taught, but
right.
It's a good question.
Well, anyway. Prayer doesn't save anyone. It's Jesus who saves. Jesus saves us by his death, burial, and resurrection. It's that gospel message that hits our hearts, that gospel message that says that Jesus died to take away our sins, that says that Jesus was buried, showing an end to the old way of life, a message that says Jesus was raised back to life so that you and I could be raised to walk in the newness of life. That's the gospel message, and when it hits our hearts, hearts that are receptive, hearts that truly believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, that in turn generates mouths that say Jesus Christ is indeed Lord, then we're saved. We go from death to life. And prayer is simply a way and a means of expressing that faith that's in the heart. It doesn't save us, but it's a wonderful way to, I guess, publicly express the reality of what's taken place, of what is taking place at that particular time. We've had this question before. Are you saying that prayer saves? Absolutely not. Jesus saves, and it's always by grace, through faith. The prayer is simply an expression of that faith that is in the heart in response to that gospel message.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, friends, if you have a question, a good opportunity for you to pose it right now. 1-800-677-9377. Want to hear from you. Plenty of time on the clock. Plenty of time for your question at 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go down to Victoria, Texas, and talk with Robert, listening to us on KCTA. Hi, Robert.
Hello.
Hello, Robert.
Welcome. How can we help you today?
Oh, nothing. I just overheard your conversation on the radio. I'm not sure what he does. I mean, I've been trying to get back into church and everything. I quit going for a while.
Robert, what would you think that God does? What do you think he does when you sin?
Well, That's I don't know. I'm not. I guess that's a million-dollar question. I guess. I mean, I guess you just go along with what the Bible would tell you. I guess. I mean, or it's what you interpret out of the Bible. I mean, I would figure, you know, it, no matter how much you pray, I mean, if you continually sin, you sin. I mean, I don't know.
Well, Robert, here's the start, and we will talk about this. One, God's already done something with our sin, and he did that 2,000 years ago. So, Robert, every sin that you commit in life, from the time of your birth to the time of your death, Jesus has already dealt with those. I mean, he looked forward through the corridor of time, and he saw you, and he saw the sins that you were going to commit, and he took those upon himself, and God judged them at that moment in time, 2,000 years ago on a hill named Calvary. The verdict was guilty. The punishment was death, and Jesus took it. So, one, he's already done something about your sin, and that's significant to know. There's not another form of punishment that he's going to deal out. He's already dealt out the ultimate punishment, and that was death, and Jesus Christ took it. So that's the first thing that we need to realize. And so today when we sin, God, by his Spirit, reminds us of that great truth. He tells us, again, the story of Christ's death on the cross. And he wants us to know that story and wants us to know it in the depths of our hearts. That's why he implemented the Lord's Supper. He said, do this until Christ returns. And when you do, you're going to proclaim the death of Jesus Christ, the fact that he took away all of our sins. And so that's why that Lord's Supper is such a joyful occasion. It's a celebration because we're celebrating what God did 2,000 years ago with our sins. So we have to understand what he did. And then the next thing is to realize that today, through his Spirit, he's going to retell us that story and to bring that back to mind so our hearts can respond with thanksgiving. But that's not the end. He continues to work with us and to show us what it means to truly walk by faith. And we'll have more about that in the post tomorrow morning. So be sure, if you're on our email list, to check your inbox. You will be getting an email about this particular article. If you're not on our email list, go to our website right now, basicgospel.net. Join the email list. You'll get this information about this post delivered directly to your email box. Plus, you will get all kinds of information from us. We would love to have you a part of that. And it's also a wonderful way to share what comes directly to you. So if there's a particular radio broadcast that has been meaningful to you and you think it could be meaningful to others, you just forward that email to people that you know and love. If there's an article that you really like, you just forward that email to people that you know and love. So it's a great way to spread the word. So if you're not a part of the email list, go to the website, basicgospel.net, and join.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'd like for you to be a part of the program right now. So call with your questions, 1-800-677-9377.
Thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Indianapolis and talk with Rodney, listening to us on WBRI. Hi, Rodney.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing fantastic. Nice to hear from you.
Yes, I have a question. I've been listening to you guys over a few years, and here in Indianapolis, a lot of traditional churches that I grew up in and still visit still teaches the Old Testament type thing. And I was just wondering, do you guys have, a church or a ministry here in Indianapolis that a person can connect with, or, to get some of the studies that you guys teach?
Well, Rodney, we have a lot of friends there in Indianapolis, and what we can do, we will put you on hold and take your name and information And we will try to connect you with some of those friends up there, and I think they can point the way as far as churches and Bible studies are concerned. And I think that would be beneficial for you. It's always worthwhile to find, you know, 2, 3, 4, or 5 people that are like-minded, that you feel comfortable with, and talking about Scripture, talking about this new covenant that we live in. And if you meet together with them, you know, it could be over lunch. It could be, you know, you start a little Bible study each week and you go into the Word of God. That is just so important for spiritual growth and really having an opportunity to wrestle through some of the questions of life and asking how does the gospel message intersect with these issues and bring solutions to them. So I think that's important. Ronnie, we'd love to put you on hold and get you connected with some folks up there in Indianapolis.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. You hold the line, okay, my friend? Thanks for your call today. We sure appreciate it.
Well, this is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. And, you know, our data processing department reports that the number one question we've gotten in regard to our Gateway to Grace offer, our special offer this month, is what's it about? Well, in 6 CD messages and the spiral-bound study guide, Gateway to Grace is a complete self-contained Bible conference. On the daily radio broadcast, you hear truth in little bits and pieces, small caller-guided conversations. But by contrast, Gateway to Grace is an organized presentation of the basic gospel message. It includes scripture references and notes in the study guide. If you've not been able to attend our Be a Voice conference, well, take advantage of this offer, friends. Gateway to Grace is an excellent resource for a personal or a group Bible study. It's yours this month for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Just go online to basicgospel.net, that's basicgospel.net, or call 1-800-727-2828, 1-800-727-2828 for Gateway to Grace. Yours this month for any gift to Basic Gospel.
And it's important. Rodney asked about churches and you know, hearing teaching that is really Old Covenant-based as a way to gain acceptance to God. That's not what the Word of God teaches. We live in a new covenant, and this particular series will help you understand that, help you understand the purpose of the old and why the new is so much better, why you need to lay aside the old so that you can grab hold of this new and experience this life of freedom to its full measure and capacity as God designed it.
Yeah.
So take advantage of this offer. And with your gift to Basic Gospel, you're not only going to benefit yourself by getting a resource that could aid you in your spiritual journey, you're going to benefit the life of another person.
Sure.
Through this program, a gift of $35 reaches 100 people with the good news that God loves them. So it's a win-win for a lot of folks involved. You get a wonderful resource. The money that you invest in this ministry really is an investment in the gospel message and is an investment in the lives of others. So benefit somebody else as well as yourself by making a gift to Basic Gospel. We're still looking for $20,000 between now and July 31st. So make a contribution today. Be as generous as you can. Help somebody else know that God truly loves them.
BasicGospel.net or by phone at 1-800-727-2828.
Let's go to Indianapolis, Indiana again and talk with Joe listening to us on WBRI. This is Indianapolis Day. It's great. Hey, Joe.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thanks. So the last caller, you had mentioned, which I believe, you know, Jesus died, which paid for our sins from birth until death. Knowing that and knowing that we will sin again in the future, then we as Christians are still supposed to repent for those sins.
Okay,
why are we repenting if they're already forgiven?
Well, Joe, are you suggesting that the work of Christ didn't bring forgiveness?
No, I believe that it did. It just seems that continuing to repent for sins that we commit almost seems like you're doubting them.
Well, that would bring up kind of a question in my mind, what really is repentance? And so let me ask you, when you say the phrase repenting for sins, what does that mean to you? What comes to your mind?
acknowledging the fact that you sinned and asking for forgiveness.
Okay.
For that sin.
Okay. So there's nowhere in the Bible that spells that out in that way. You're not going to find a verse. You're not going to find a passage. You're not going to find a chapter. You're not going to find a book that would spell out repentance in those terms, acknowledging your sin and then asking God to forgive you. I think that's something that we've developed, a formula that we've come up with as far as an answer to the question, what should we do when we sin? But when we truly repent, we see things a lot differently. And repentance is something that is initiated by God in our lives, and we simply respond to what he's trying to teach us, what he's trying to communicate to us, so that we can experience a harvest of righteousness. So repentance, first and foremost, is a word that is used primarily in the conversion process, the salvation process. It's that act of us turning away from unbelief to belief in Jesus Christ. And again, it's a response to the gospel message. We're turning away from that old way of life because we know that it brought us pain and sorrow and emptiness and all of those things. And we're turning toward this new life that Jesus has for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. And that repentance is a once and for all type thing. Now, there are times where we get involved in sins of the flesh, giving in to the desires of the flesh. And I think when we truly repent of those things is when we see the consequences that those acts bring into the lives of others. When we see the pain and the sorrow and the hurt and the damage those sins cause in the life of somebody else. When you can look and say, for example, us guys have problems with lust. That's just the way we've been designed. We're visually oriented. We're stimulated through what goes into these eyes of ours. And so lust is a natural fleshly desire. And many guys get involved in pornography and other immoral, sexually immoral activities. And just confessing that and asking God to forgive you doesn't solve the lust problem. It doesn't put it where it needs to be. But when you start looking at the consequences of that, as far as your relationship is concerned, as far as your wife is concerned, as far as people are concerned, you start seeing it as God sees it. And when you start seeing it as God sees it, then there's this natural desire to turn away from it, to say, hey, I don't want to be a part of things that bring hurt and damage and pain and sorrow into the life of another person. And that's when repenting from sins really becomes a reality. Has nothing to do with a formula. It has nothing to do with asking God to forgive you. He's already shed his blood on the cross. He's not going to come back and die again. It's learning the true nature of sin and the consequences that it has, and coming to a point and saying, I'm missing the mark of love. I want to turn away from that so that my life can be offered up to God in such a way that my faith in him can be expressed in love toward others. That's what true repentance is all about. Does that make sense?
I guess it does for repentance. I guess now I'm leaning, I need more clarification on asking for forgiveness. The Lord's Prayer says, forgive our trespasses, but those have already been forgiven.
Well, let me ask you, did he answer that prayer?
Yes.
So have your sins been forgiven?
Yes.
That prayer's been answered, hasn't it?
So then should we not continue to pray for forgiveness?
Well, I think when you do, here's what I believe is going to happen, Joe. I think God's going to answer that, and he's going to keep pointing you back to the cross of Jesus Christ. And he's going to say, Joe, look at what Jesus did. He died in your place. He took away your sins, and as a result, all your sins have been forgiven. And the day that you received Christ, you received the fullness, the completeness, the totality of that forgiveness that he provided through his cross. Your sins have been forgiven. It's a great passage in 1 John chapter 2. Love this verse. I think it's a verse every believer needs to star, underline, memorize, put up on your mirror, have it on a card in your car. And it says this, "I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name." So, Joe, every time you say, "Lord, please forgive me of these sins," I think the Lord's going to take you right back to that verse and say, "Joe, your sins have been forgiven on account of Jesus' name." And I think once that verse, the truth of that really embeds itself in your heart and soul, when you sin, I think you're going to say, "Lord, thank you for dying in my place. Thank you that sin has been forgiven. And Lord, I want to make myself available to you, not to carry out sins in the future, but to be a vessel of your love to bring light and life into this world of darkness."
Okay, thank you.
So hope that helps, Joe.
All right, thanks a lot.
Let me do this. I'm going to send you this special offer, Gateway to Grace.
Gateway to Grace, We'll be talking about it in a moment.
That's exactly right. I want to send that to you. We address this question that you're asking in lots of detail. Look at passage after passage after passage. I want you to listen through that and then get back with us, okay?
Okay, thanks.
You hang on, Joe. Thanks for your call. Great question.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things God wants to do for us is to change the conversation. In the past, we focus on our sins and our bad behavior and Lord. And what he does when he says, "Richard, I have already forgiven you," is he raises the conversation to a completely different level. And now it's a relationship based on I'm his son and he's my father. And he has amazing gifts for me in order to help me learn how not to do that anymore. Rather than chasing me around with a whoop stick, he's changing me from the inside out. And that's what I love about the I'm forgiven. It's not I'm forgiven, neener, neener.
Right.
It's I'm forgiven, therefore God himself can teach me how to stop doing this stuff.
Yes, indeed. Whenever we sin, here's the reality. We're scared to death that God is going to punish us.
Yeah.
We walk on eggshells. We think of adverse circumstances comes into our lives. That's God punishing me for something that I've done. So we naturally want to deal with that fear. You know, what do I need to do to quit from being scared to death that I'm going to be whacked over the head by God? So I acknowledge it, I confess it, and hopefully that's enough. But when we realize that we're forgiven, it's a finished thing, and we can go to God in confidence, and that's what he wants.
Yes, indeed. Well, friends, keep in mind that Basic Gospel is a totally listener-supported program. We must have your support to keep bringing the truth of the New Covenant onto the airwaves every day. And to encourage you to help in this, we are making available an excellent Bible study resource. The 6-message series called Gateway to Grace is a full conference in one exciting package, 6 CDs and a scripture reference note-filled study guide that addresses many of the questionable influences we encounter every day. Gateway to Grace will take you on a new covenant journey to faith and freedom. It's a self-contained Bible study conference that you can use for personal or group study, and it's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel during the remainder of the month of July. To request Gateway to Grace, go online to basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828 for yours this month for a gift of any amount. Gateway to Grace. Also at Basic Gospel, we like social media. We use it, and we hope you do too. And we hope you'll like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. Now for Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer and the entire ministry staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.